Well, this morning I want to do the second step of the I Am series. Jesus said, I am, seven times, and in those seven times, he told us who he was. He self-identified. Last week, as we talked about, I am the bread of life. Okay, this week we'll talk about I am the light of the world. And so jump with to John chapter 8, and we'll go down to verse 12. That's where we're going to begin. John's gospel is right before this part of the gospel. You know, in scripture, there's sections of scripture sometimes that can be identified. It's called pericope, a pericope of scripture. And this is when the same content goes together. It may have different ideas, but all those ideas formulate one thought. And this one begins with John 8:12, and begins with John 9, verse 5. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world, in John 8:12. And then in 9:5, he says, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So take those two scriptures, kind of like bookends, and see what happens in between them, and you'll begin to identify how Jesus is the light of the world. He gives his own definition to the statement. He verifies his identity. I am the light of the world. Verse 12 of chapter 8. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This, so the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered and said to him, even if I am testifying about myself, my testimony is true because I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I came from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. In other words, two by two verifies a testimony. Even in your law, it has been written that the testimony of two people is true. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. So they were saying to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke to in the treasury as he taught in the temple area, and no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. Then he said to them again, I am going away, and if you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself, will he? Since he says, where am I going, you cannot come. And he was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Now, notice how he's clarifying his identity. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. I and my Father are in agreement. He testifies of me. I testify of him. We are two. It takes two to make the testimony true. And you can't have two stronger truths than the Father in heaven and the Son of glory on earth. So he goes on in verse 24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Then they were saying to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, what have I been saying to you from the beginning? I have many things to say and to judge regarding you. But he who sent me is true. And the things which I heard from him, these I say to the world. They do not realize what he is speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you know that I am, and I do nothing on my own. But I say these things as the Father instructed me. Notice the number of times he says, you know that I am. Okay? You know that I am. I am Yahweh. That's I am. Okay? And he keeps saying that over and over. He knows that those Hebrew scholars are picking it up. I am. You know that I am. Okay? He doesn't have to give anything after it because he's identifying who he is as God. Okay? Verse 29. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he said these things, many came to believe in him. Now, verse 29 is very important too. And he who sent me is with me. Now, that with is an added article there. It actually says, if you look in the text, and he who sent me is me. In other words, I sent myself. He's fully identifying himself with the Father here in the scripture. That's remarkable. That's what got him put on a cross. That's what they said, we can't have you saying that you are God. They won't have it. Verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Now the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son sets you free, you truly are, will be free. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are seeking to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak of these things which I have seen with my father. Therefore you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. He said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God, this Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we are not born as a result of sexual immorality. We have one father. Now that was a slam because they knew that Jesus didn't have an earthly father, that Mary was pregnant before she married Joseph. And so it's saying, we were not born as a result of sexual immorality. Like, we are not like you. We're not born of sexual immorality. And as we know, Jesus was not born of sexual immorality either. She was a virgin when she was born. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were with you, your father, you would love me. For I have come forth from God, and now I am here. For I have not even come of my own, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He is a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he tells you a lie, he speaks from his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I say to you, you do not believe me, which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? The one who is of God hears the word of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. The Jews answered and said to him, do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and you are a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon. On the contrary, I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I am not seeking my glory. There is one who seeks it and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone follows my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets as well, and yet you say, if anyone follows my word, he will never taste of death. You are not greater than our father Abraham, who died, are you? The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is the Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I follow his word. Your father Abraham was overjoyed when he would see my day, and he saw it and rejoiced. So as you said to him, you are not even 50 years old, and you say that you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. There it is again, see it? Before Abraham was, two words, Yahweh, I am. He's identifying himself as God, straight, flat out in their face, okay? And so they look at him and say, before Abraham was, I am. Therefore, verse 55, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and left the temple area grounds. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Now, we've gone to chapter 9. We recognize there's those chapter headings in the original text. This is a straight flow out of chapter 8, okay? It says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither this man's sin nor his parents, but it was that works of God might be displayed in him. We must carry out the works of God who sent me. As long as it is day, night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, there he closes it out, I am the light of the world. So he begins with the light of the world, he ends his sex with the light of the world. What's the last thing he does? He heals a blind man who can't see, who has no light. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of day. Will have the light of life, actually. So, now when we're taking this text, Jesus' self-identification, when he says this to the early on, he said, I am the bread of life. Unless you eat me, okay, eat this bread, then you can have no part of me. Now he says, I'm the light of the world. Now, he said, if you listen to my words, then you can have the light. Do you understand that? That's what we're doing here this morning. You're listening to his words. That's why it's more important to hear his words than it is to hear my words, to give you the full text of what he was saying in the scripture. It's one full message. Let's break it down a little bit, okay? The dominant focus of the apparent detour that he's taken from I am the light of the world to I am the light of the world, he took this detour as he encounters the Pharisees and the scribes who are questioning him about who he is. It's really not a detour. He's identifying what he's saying when he says, I am the light of the world. Is that the testimony of the judgment of Jesus are true because he has a relationship with God the Father? Take that into account. Jesus has a relationship with God the Father. And you can't take that from him. You can strip his body. You can ridicule him. You can take away his dignity. You can do it all. But you can't take away who he is. And they were going to do everything they could to take that away. That was his testimony. At least 7 times in this passage, Jesus points to the fact that he is from the Father and speaks on the authority of the Father and is going to the Father and does nothing of his own initiative. He only does what he sees his Father doing. So he says he is in the exact likeness of God the Father. So if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he said. Now this is really striking a chord in these Pharisees. They can't handle that. You know, most people today can't handle that either. For me to say Jesus is God is a lot different than saying Jesus was a great hero of society, that he was a great philosopher, that he was a great prophet. But when I say Jesus is God, that elevates him from here to way up here. Jesus is God. That's why Thomas, when he fell down before him in the upper room, he says, "My Lord and my God." He bowed at Jesus' feet and said, "My Lord and my God." Recognizing who Jesus is paramount to understanding the gospel of what took place. How God himself became a man. He was a part of the Trinity. He became a man. He became the sacrificial lamb. He laid down his life on our behalf. He claims, in other words, that his testimony is not owing to any human origin. It's owing to his relationship with the Father. Now, imagine the greatest human you know that loves God and honors God. And would you like to be like him? Some would say maybe Billy Graham. He was a great man. He influenced a lot of people. But you know, Billy Graham is not any greater than you. He's just a man following after his Lord, doing the best he knew to honor God. And see, when we spread the word of life out, when I tell you that Jesus is the Lord of life, I'm telling you that he's what puts life inside you. And when he puts life inside you, you become like him. And that light of heaven, when Jesus says, "I am the light," that light of heaven begins to come and shine inside you. And you begin to glow. Something different happens to you. Your countenance changes. Your attitude changes. Suddenly, you know that you are loved. And you look around and you don't see people the same way. You don't see the world the same way. You see love. You see life. You see what God has done and what God is doing. So we need to understand the origin of who Jesus is. Jesus was of the Father in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He was of the Trinity. He left his throne because he sat at the right hand of God. And he, what did he do? He came to earth. Why? To become a sacrificial lamb for you. And he tells you that all you have to do is believe it. And when you believe it, it becomes a part of you. So believe on the only begotten Son of God. Believe his testimony because his testimony is true. And if you believe this testimony, then you too have eternal life. And he said that, if you follow me, you will follow into eternity. Verse 24, unless you believe that I am Yahweh, you will die in your sins. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. Unless you believe that I am Yahweh. And Jesus is identifying with deity. And he is the one who ascended into heaven and who's coming back. Jesus is the light of the world because he comes from the Father and speaks for the Father and is going to the Father and is one with the Father. When he comes to the end of the text in John 8, 12 through 30, so we see a reason so many people, they miss it. It's because Satan covers their eyes and they live in darkness. And so it's like Jesus turning on the light. This is good news because Jesus had said, verse 24, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. When you die, they will go where Jesus has gone, verse 21, to the Father. Unlike the unrepentant, as Jesus says in verse 21, where I am going, you cannot come. And so there he's pointing out the opposite reality. If you don't believe, you don't get to follow him. And if you don't get to follow him to where he's going, you're going to hell. That's the sad part of the scripture. He says, I am the light of the world. If you believe in me, then you can follow me to where I am going. If you don't believe me in me and you don't follow me, you can't go where I am going. So we need to believe in him, because that's what it's all about, okay? He wasn't doing miracles at this point. He was just speaking or talking. And as people listened to his words, they believed. Faith comes by hearing, and the word of Christ, Romans 10:17. That can happen here, right now, in this room. You may start to hear the message as an unbeliever, and you may come to the end of your message as a believer, and you say, okay, I believe. I believe what he's saying is true. It happened for them, can happen to you. So, if you don't believe, it's time to turn on your believer. Just trust the words of Christ. I am the light of the world. Again, Jesus spoke to the saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of men. Have you noticed how much darkness there is around us right now? Have you been listening to the news? It's almost like it's shadowing us. It's like in politics, in our relationship with each other, countries don't respect each other. And what we're seeing out there in the world is a life that's going the wrong direction. When the light of Christ shines on the world, all of a sudden, we begin to look and see the goodness that's in the world. Did you know that there's goodness in the world? Did you know that when you look for the goodness, you will find it? When the goodness is inside you, it will begin to shine out of you. It says in verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That means everywhere you go, you'll be a light. When you were a little kid, didn't you sing a song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine all over Newark, all over Ohio, all over the world. Why? Because you are a light. Why are you a light? Because you believe the light. And when you believe the light, then you can begin to accept the realities of what he's saying here. So the things you need to pull out here, Jesus is God. Jesus is Yahweh. And then you can begin to accept, not only is Jesus God, you can take the next step and say, Jesus is my God. Jesus is my God. And hold on to him. As you walk through the darkness of this world, grab hold of your children and your grandchildren. Grab hold of your parents. Walk them through the darkness. You have the light. Why do you have the light? Because you believe the light of Jesus. And if you believe in the light of Jesus, you are his representative in this world. Like coming from the Father and going to the Father and being one with the Father, Jesus became the light. So hold on. The story's not over yet. And even though we may think that the darkness is winning, I want you to know something. The darkness will not win. It will not win. So notice that when you follow him, you have him. You have him as the light of light. I am the light. Whoever follows me will have the light. So what are you going to do with it? You're going to shine. You're going to go out there in the world and you're going to shine for Jesus. When people look at you, they're going to say, there's something different about that person. Why? Because they have Jesus. Why do they have Jesus? I want to know. And so they may even ask you the question, why are you following Jesus? If they're not asking you, maybe you're not shining. It's time to shine. Give the light to the world. You will have the light of life. What is the connection between the light and the life? John 1:4. In him was the light of life, was the light of men. You can even catch the concept that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The life gives light. The life gives Jesus has flooded our souls. So when you allow your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to overtake your mind and overtake your body, then you begin to understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so it's time to get baptized by the Holy Spirit. And how do you do that? You believe. It's not that hard. You simply believe. And when you believe, the Holy Spirit of God begins to come. He takes over. He takes over your mind. He takes over your body. And the things of the flesh disappear. I trust that the life gives you that light to allow that to take place. That is, we are dead and blinded by the light. And just like the blind man, okay, we can't see. We need the Lord to take the shackles off of our eyes so we can begin to see from his perspective. Because when you see from his perspective, you'll be able to see through the issues of this world. The light of the world. And what about the phrase, light of the world, verse 12? Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. What does of the world mean? The whole world is not being lightened. At least not yet. It's going to happen. But be patient. Be patient. Okay, there's four things you need to know here. So let me quickly go through them. Okay, one, Jesus being the light of the world means the world has no other light than him. If there is going to be light in the world, it will be Jesus. It is Jesus or darkness. No other choice. Number two, all the world and everyone in the world knows that Jesus is the light. We've not got there yet. All the world's going to know. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. Number three, it means that the Word was made flesh for this light. This is not a foreign light. This is the light of the owner of the world. When this light not only shines with its full and true beauty, the world is made to be illumined by this light. This light is Christ. Is native to the world. And finally, number four, Jesus being the light of the world means that one day this world will be filled with this light as the waters cover the sea, and all darkness and all the works of darkness and all the sons of darkness will be cast out. That's why Jesus called hell outer darkness. Matthew 8:12. And 22:33. In that, all will be light. Jesus, the radiance of the Father, will fill the world, and everything will be beautiful with the light of Christ. But in the meantime, you are the light of the world. I hope you come away from these texts, believing that Jesus is the great I Am. Can you do that?